You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, tonight, there's a couple things I want to mention, then I'd like to get into some of the things that God says about investing. You know, if you look in the Bible, there's quite a bit about finances. I mean, we talk about any kind of teaching you want to get into. You know, you go into the Scripture, you look at it, and you see what God says, and you line your life out with it. But God also says a lot of things about finances, not just tithing and giving. Get that out of your mind just for a moment. I believe in tithing, believe in giving. We will minister on that. I have purposely saved that for last. Are you with me? And not start out the series with that, because I think everybody thinks that's all the Bible has to say. That is not all the Bible has to say. That's important, and everybody ought to be a tither and a giver, but the Bible says much, much more than just that. And I think that's where we miss it in most cases. It's not the tithing and the giving. We miss it on the management of the money that we keep. You know, first of all, we're not giving God 10% of our money when we tithe anyway. We're giving 10% of His money back to Him. We're keeping 90% of His money. So everything is the Lord's, and what we are stewards. So we want to obey Him and do what He says to do with it. And that's what we've been ministering on, really, is that other 9/10, as it were. I don't even believe you ought to stop there. I think that as God blesses you, you probably get to where you live on less and less and less percentage. I think tithe is just a start. You know, you ought to believe God to give 15%, then 20%, then 30%, then 40%. Then, but you can't do that if you have bills. You're going to have to get your bills down. Are you with me? You ought to start with 10, because that's what the Bible starts with. Not as a law, but as a principle. We're not under a law, but that is the principle the Bible teaches. And we're under the law of love. Let's face it. Now, some people say, well, I don't think we're supposed to tithe. Well, no, we should tithe, because that's a principle. Just because it's not a law doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Hello. It's a new covenant, and old covenant, and before old covenant. And we'll get into that in another teaching, But besides that, you know, we ought to believe for the blessing of God that makes rich, that He adds no sorrow with it, and get to the point where we're just, you know, that's just too much money. I can't use all this. I'm going to start giving more to God.
Praise the Lord.
Man, wake up one year, you know, give 12%, give 15%. Then one year, give 20%. Then you're blessed. You're doing so good, you don't need it. You still have your investments and your savings, your retirement, all those things. That's important, and we need to do that as Christians, and that's our responsibility as a Christian. But still, we're just so blessed we can't use it all. Now, what is wrong with that? That's a wonderful thing. Wouldn't you like to just give $1 million to mission yourself, write a check out? I'd love to do that, you know. But I understand there's some things I got to do to get there. There's a lot of things I got to do to get there. But anyway, but if I obey God, God will bless me. Yeah. And I'll be able to increase and give more and do more, you know. Turn to Proverbs 13. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to hit a couple things real quick and not really going. We don't have time to go into every area of finance. There are so many. I start out saying that the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of subjects. You know, Jesus, there's 38 parables in the New Testament, and 16 of the 38 parables had something to do with money. You know, the parable of the sower and the seed was a money deal. That was a work. That was how they made money, income, by sowing and reaping. And if you just see the spiritual truth of it and miss the practical truth of it, you're missing out on something there. Think about this. I know we understand the spiritual truth of what he's saying, that good ground, you know, you got bad ground, you got thorny ground, you got. But see, if you were a farmer and you listened to that, you know exactly what he was talking about. You don't want to waste your time putting your seed on rock or rocky ground. You don't want to waste your time putting your seed in thorny ground. Hello? And sometimes we're looking for that spiritual truth so much that we miss the practical side of that. Actually, Jesus is telling you, you need to look for good ground to put your seed in. If you were a farmer, that's what you'd look for.
Amen. That's right.
The ground's just as important as the seed.
Amen.
There was some practical wisdom there on just a farmer and farming. And so often we miss the practical thing Jesus is using because he used that because people understood that and could relate to that. A lot of times in our society, we're not an agricultural society as it was like then. But Jesus was talking about business principles and working principles that everybody understood. He used simple examples. You know, he'd walk along and says, hey, you see the sparrow over there? Your heavenly Father feeds the sparrow. Are you not much better than they? And see the lily of the field? If God so clothed the grass of the field, today is, tomorrow's cast in the oven. How much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And then he went down talking about, he was talking about trusting God to take care of you. and seeking God first and putting Him first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Amen? So, you know, the parables that He used were very simple parables that we could relate to, but let's don't miss the simple points that He made. I'm going to get into some of those in just a minute. Y'all found Proverbs 13? Proverbs 13, notice what it says here in the 22nd verse. A good man, everybody say a good man. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Everybody say leaves an inheritance. Now, what does the Christian thing do concerning wills and inheritance? Well, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You and I ought to be thinking along those lines as Christians, as believers. We ought to leave an inheritance to our family. You say, well, how do you do that? Glad you asked. You got to save money. You got to put money away. And you know what? You need a will, too. Now, you know, I'm not getting a lot of details here. You have to go study that out. There's a lot of books you can read and people you can get a hold of. But we as Christians, we ought to leave an inheritance. We ought to have a will. You say, well, I don't know about a will. I was reading one of Dave Ramsey's books one time, and he said, well, if I make a will, I'm going to die. He says, you're going to die, so why not die with a will? Are you with me? You can mark it down. If Jesus tarries, now if Jesus doesn't come back, and if the trumpet sounds comes back, we're going out of here. We're going out with a shout. But if that doesn't happen, you're going to die. Okay? And I'm going to die. And you don't want the state trying to figure out where your money goes, all right? You get a will together, and if you don't have anything, it's not necessary. But if you don't have anything, you need to pray. Because a good man leaves inheritance. And, of course, there's all kinds of ways to do that, and I'm not going to get into all the details here. But I love that it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Meaning that they didn't leave that inheritance. They didn't direct that money. Now, look, you brought nothing in this world. You can take nothing with you, but you can sure tell it where to go before you leave. That's what a will is all about. And then think about also funeral expenses. You know, you think about, you know, that costs money. Have you prepared for that? Have you gotten ready for that? There's a couple theories on that. You know, you could prepay your funeral, or you could just invest in a mutual fund, let money build up to pay off your funeral and have money left over when it happens. I think it's a better plan, personally. You can pre-plan your funeral, just not prepay it. But by pre-planning, you've already got money set aside for it. Yeah. That's something to think about. But you pray about that, and you see what you want to do. In fact, turn to Matthew 27. I'm just going over some practical things that the Bible addresses. And we can see right there that it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Hallelujah. I don't want the state getting my money. You know, there's a living trust. There's all kinds of things that you can study and get into and check out. Matthew 27. This is significant. We probably read this and just go right by it. Don't even catch it. This is when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, and then they went in to beg the body of Jesus from Pilate. And it says in the 57th verse, now when evening had come, there came a rich man. Everybody say rich man.
Rich man.
Nothing wrong with being rich. Here's a rich man that served God. Here's a rich man that was used by God. Here's a rich man that the Bible calls rich, and he was not wicked. Hello. Every rich person is not wicked. And I can guarantee you, every poor person is not holy either.
That's right.
Amen. Glory. So anyway, it says, now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. You've heard of him. We've all heard of him in the Bible. Who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. He was a rich man. He was a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. See, we don't often think about all this. Jesus died on the cross. How did the body wind up over there in the tomb? Somebody marched into Pilate, was bold enough to stand in his presence, hello, and said, I want that body. And it was Joseph, a rich man, hello, who also had a tomb to put Jesus in. He had a pre-planned funeral. Well, come on. I mean, you don't think about it, but he did. He planned for his death. He had a tomb already ready for his death. He knew he was going to die. If that had not been there, I don't know where Jesus, I don't know what they would have done with his body. I really don't. You know, we often miss the practical points that take place in what we call the gospel story, you know. But here's this rich man, Joseph Arimathea, who actually had a tomb ready. He went into Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. That's the tomb Jesus was in. That's pretty practical, isn't it? There was a rich man that had a tomb, loaned it to Jesus. It was just a three-day deal. He didn't need it for long. I mean, he wasn't giving it to him. I mean, he knew, you know, Jesus would be out there in 3 days anyway. But, I mean, still, he had it ready, and it was there. And he obviously had it pre-planned. You know what? That was a good deal. That was a good deal. If any of you dealt with tragedy in your family, I'll tell you, it's a good deal when you got that taken care of. It's a great deal. As a Christian, to already have that taken care of, already have that money set aside, and there's several ways you can do that. You can just put your money aside in a bank or in a mutual fund or something and just let it draw interest, let it incur some, and just don't touch it. That's for burying. You know what? You say, well, what's going to make money? I won't need that much money. Yeah, but whoever has to take care of the situation will have a lot of money left over when it's all done. Are you with me? And see, that's just wisdom. That's just practical. That's just Bible. Think about that. We looked about inheritances. Here we're talking about a tomb and getting ready for a funeral and so on and so forth. And the Bible addresses those things. Now, turn to Luke 19. Hallelujah. This is another one of Jesus' parables, one of his financial parables. You know, actually, Jesus taught more about... Now, when I say talked about finances, I mean he used financial examples. He addressed finances. He used things as preaching points, you know. He talked actually about finances more than he did heaven, hell, prayer, and faith all put together. That doesn't mean it's more important. I'm just giving you a statistic to let you know that God does address money. He addresses it quite a bit. 16 of the 38 parables, as I mentioned earlier, and then a lot of his teaching and preaching, he used financial examples when he'd preach and teach. And the Bible's literally filled with financial matters. When it talks about financial matters. I mean, you go through the scripture, it is amazing how many times money is mentioned in all kinds of contexts. You know, people get so confused about offerings sometimes. They'll say, well, the Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. No, it says when you give alms, that's gifts to the poor, don't shout it in the street, keep it quiet, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. He's not talking about general offerings. He's not talking about building offerings. He's not talking about tithing. He's talking about when you give to poor people. That's Matthew the 6th chapter. See, the Bible talks about gifts to the poor. The Bible talks about building offerings. The Bible talks about tithes. The Bible talks about people dropping money in the back of the treasury. You know what? The widow's mite, they knew exactly what that woman gave. Jesus preached a whole sermon on it. They were back there watching them put money in the box. They used to have a box the back of the synagogue or where they met, the church, the temple, and people would come in and drop their offerings in that box. And people saw it happen. He saw several rich men come in and drop a whole lot of money. He made a point of saying that, but he said, this woman, out of her need, has given more than all they. And he knew exactly what she gave. So that wasn't a secret. Under the old covenant, when they did build an offering for the temple, they actually told how much money was taken up. David got up and says, I'm giving this amount of money. He lists it, tells you exactly how much it is. It was a lot of money. Gold and silver, and he lists how much it was. Then the elders got together and they gave and it lists how much that was. So, you know, when you're talking about even offerings or giving or tithes, you have to be specific. God addresses types of offerings. And obviously when you give to a poor person, you don't want to embarrass the person and sound in the street that you wouldn't help the person. This guy was about to go under and praise God, I helped him. He lost his job and he couldn't pay his bill and he was just worthless and I helped him. Hallelujah. No, you keep that quiet. We do that a lot around here. You know, we help people. We don't ever announce it. We never tell who it is. We don't announce it. What are you talking about? Because people fall on hard times. It happens. And you don't want to embarrass, you want to help them get back on their feet. Hello. Okay, so, wisdom. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Okay. Oh, here's a good one. You're going to love this. Luke 19. In the 12th verse, it says, therefore he said, Jesus speaking, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas, and said unto them, do business till I come. Everybody say, do business.
Do business.
I think the Amplified says buy and sell till I come. King James says occupy till I come. So what he gave them was money to make money with. This would be a good definition of the word invest or investment. Investment is when you take money. In fact, the dictionary definition is to invest. It's to use money to buy something which is expected to produce a profit or income or both. That gold watch you bought was not an investment. Unless you plan on selling it for more money than you paid for it. There's nothing wrong with you buying a gold watch. That's perfectly all right. I just think we need to define terms. Hello. Well, this is just a good investment. No, that was a good deal. That wasn't necessarily a good investment. Even your home's not an investment if you don't intend on selling it. But God sure wants you to have a home, and that's okay. You get a lot of amens out here. Now, it's a potential investment. If they did fall on hard times, you could sell it and supposedly make more money. I understand that principle. But I think that if we're going to get down to what Jesus is talking about here, and a real true definition of investment, your car is not an investment because you're not going to be able to sell a new car when you buy it and drive it all the parking lot for what you just paid for it. But an investment is what you put money into to make money off of. Whether you're buying something to resell or whether it's a business you're investing in, or whether it's stocks or whether it's bonds or whether it's mutual funds or CDs, or, you know, the list is endless of all those things, and they all have different rates of interest and different times that they make money, you know, and you need to study and research that yourself. But see, the point is God still wants us to be ready to use extra money that we have to invest. He doesn't want you to put your money under a pillow or under a mattress or dig it the ground and bury it somewhere. You say, well, I don't have any extra money. Well, that's another problem you need to address. You need to ask God to help you to get a budget, get together, and start getting down and decreasing your debt and getting to where you do have extra money and set savings aside. You need savings set aside for emergencies. You need money set aside for your funeral. You need money set aside for retirement. Did you know you're getting older? See, aren't you glad you come to church? I tell you these profound truths that you never think about. We get older every day. And retirement is coming. Right. And I hope you don't have all your faith in just the Social Security system. Thank God for Social Security. But don't think that's going to keep you going. You need to use some wisdom concerning that. And there's ways to do that. You don't need to face the future with fear or panic. Right. You can get in the Word of God and God will help you. You need to pray about these kinds of things and say, God, give me wisdom. What do you want me to do? What can I do? What are my options? What avenues do I have? Well, man, I haven't got hardly any money at all. Well, put a little money aside every month. Just put it aside. And then let it build up and then put it in something. If nothing else, put it in some kind of account that will get you some interest. There's other ways to make money, but that's better than it just sitting in your house or sitting in your belly, junk food, fast food, or something you didn't need to start with. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. Okay. So it says here, he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come, or trade till I come, or buy and sell till I come. But his citizens, where he went to this foreign country to receive a kingdom, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They didn't receive him when he got over there. He left his servants, and he was going to return later. Why not return quicker than he thought? And so it was, 15th verse, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much everyone had gained by trading, New King James says. The Amplified says by buying and selling. And, excuse me, I got to get my glasses out. And I wrote these notes too, you know, but. It says what their profits were. Everybody say profits. Now, of course, Jesus is talking about a spiritual truth here. No question. But he's using a very practical example to bring forth a spiritual truth. And if you were listening to Jesus during that day, you'd understand what he's talking about. And what Jesus was saying was a good thing, not a bad thing. Jesus doesn't use a lot of bad examples to bring a spiritual truth across. I mean, he wouldn't be against investing and then use it to preach a message. Oh, come on. No, he wouldn't do that. He would use this because this is a good thing and everybody understood this. That it was wise, it was smart, it was sharp. This is something that was good and profitable to take money and make money with money. You know, the difference between the rich and the poor really is that the poor work for their money and the rich work, their money works for them. I think I got that right, did I? Okay. The way Amanda laughed, I thought I had a tongue slip there. So, just pray about it. I mean, make your money work for you. You say, well, I don't have a lot extra. Pray about that. Pray about that. Ask God to increase you where you can make your money make money for you and put some retirement away and get ready to leave an inheritance to your family. The quicker you do it, the better. The earlier you do it, the better. But it's never too late to start. Never. Amen? So he wanted to know what they had gained by trading or buying and selling or what their profits were. Brenda hates these glasses, by the way, because they're so big. She doesn't like the big. She thinks I ought to wear some smaller ones. And all the women agree, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, 16 verse. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Everybody say earned.
Earned.
Okay, earned. Now, how in the world did one mina earn 10? Let's just say $1,000 earned $10,000. How in the world that happened? How did that money make money? That wasn't a job they made money off. God addresses that. We've talked about that in great detail. That's your number one way of prospering is working. And God wants to bless your job. As a Christian, as a believer, you should be a faithful worker. You should be there on time. You should do the best of your ability and be a witness and a light as you're there. But part of your witness is you're being a good worker and being faithful and being dependable and responsible. That's part of your witness. But beyond that, there's also this thing called money making money. That's one thing, one amount of money, earning 10 times that amount of money. Now, I like that. And anybody's book, that's a good return. That's a huge return. Are you with me? And you know what I like? I like to look at it like this. You know, not only does God say that and use that as an example, but you know what? I can start believing God that somehow, some way, God's going to show me how to make that happen. Well, you'd be a financial guru in the natural and in the business world if you could make that happen. But you know what? There's something here we could start praying over our finances. God calls that to increase. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm using wisdom, Father. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. Now let the anointing of God come on my investments and come on my retirement and come on what I'm putting aside. Or if it's a business or a new venture, pray over it. Ask God to bless it because God does want it to increase.
Yes. Amen.
He really does.
That's right.
Because you're going to do the right thing with the money as a Christian, as a believer. I mean, if I make a lot of money, I'm going to give it to the gospel. If a lost person does it, they're not going to help the gospel one bit. If a drug addict makes it or the mafia makes it, they're not going to invest it in the kingdom of God. Are you kidding?
Amen.
See, it is the devil that's trying to keep us poor.
That's right.
Or just bless us four and no more. That mentality. That's not Christian. Well, if you got beans on the table and you got clothes on your back and a roof over your head, baby, you can't ask for any more than that. You ought to be content. Bless my four and no more. Well, what about your neighbor?
Yeah.
Now, yes, it's good to have beans on the table. And it's great to have clothes on your back. Put them on and come to church. Please put them on. Come with them on. And it's great to have a roof over your head. Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. And we're not envious of other people that have more. And we're not greedy to have more. But you know what? I want to help more. I want to be a bigger blessing than that. I want to be able to help somebody. Hello.
We've
got to get out of ourselves, see, and see the big picture here. Besides that, everything I have is His. I want to use it to its fullest potential. All my money is His money. The question is, am I using it to its fullest potential? Am I being a good steward of it? Am I making His money make money? That's a good question. So here they came and they reckoned with Him, the Master. 17th verse, He said to him, well done, good servant. Well done. Well done. Great. He was pleased with this. This was done well. What was done well? He invested money and made money, and that was a good thing. And it was well done. Woo. This is Jesus speaking now. Yes, he's using a parable, but let's don't miss the points he's using here. He's saying, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Wow. So, making money with your money is being faithful with your money. Can y'all see that? I mean, let's put the pieces together here and connect the dots. If he says, because you've been faithful with it, what he means being faithful with it is causing it to increase. Isn't that right? You know, if you're faithful with your life as a Christian, you know what you're going to do? You're going to mature spiritually. You're going to increase spiritually. If you're faithful with the word that you hear, you're going to grow in the word. and the Word's going to grow in you. And you're going to be a stronger Christian next year than you were this year. If you're faithful with the message that you hear and the Word that you read and you apply it in your life, it's going to cause increase in your life, spiritually speaking. Okay? And that's done. You've done well because you've done something with what you heard. You've done something with what was given to you, spiritually speaking, the Word, changing your life, living holy, making adjustments, working on things like anger and unforgiveness and those kinds of things. You begin to prosper in those areas year by year as a Christian as you use and put to work the principles that you hear. Well, now money is no different. If the money increases, that's being faithful with the money. That's making money make money. Now, we're talking about extra money in it, but please don't walk out of here. You know, I can't cover everything tonight. There's no way I can cover all the bases. We're not saying go out and take money that you need to pay your electric bill and go invest it in some stock. That is not what I'm saying. We're talking about extra money that begins to accumulate because you're obeying God, because you're budgeting, because you're setting apart. You've tithed, you've paid your bills, you've put some savings aside. Now you have some money that's starting to accumulate. Well, let's make that work for you and for God and for the kingdom. Are you with me? Investment is not light bill. Investment is not mortgage payment. No. And you know what? Investment's not even retirement either in one sense. I mean, it can be retirement. It turns into retirement. But there should be something you've got over here that's not risky at all, that you're not, you know, that's building. Does that make sense? I wish I had time just to go over all. You can't cover all your bases. But 17th verse, he said, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 5 minas.'" Earned, gained, profited. "Likewise, he said to him, 'You also will be over 5 cities.' Then another came saying, 'Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief under the mattress.'" Hello? "For I feared you. For I feared you." You know, most people don't invest because they're afraid. Did you know that? Most people don't do a lot of things because they're afraid. And fear will always keep you from prospering. Fear will keep you from moving in God. It'll keep you from witnessing. It'll keep you from using what God has given you to minister to people and pray for people. It'll also keep you from using your money because I might lose it. Yeah, and you might make some money with it. Hello. But one thing for sure, if you don't get in the game, you don't win. You will lose every time. Amen. And it's not a game really, because really you can pray and ask God to give you wisdom and direct you and help you, and He'll help you prosper. "For I feared you because you were an austere man." He's talking about his master. "You collect what you did not deposit. You reap where you did not sow." Now listen to what Jesus said. This is very strong. He said to him, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you." I'll judge you according to what you say. "Well, I'd never be able to invest." Don't say that. Don't say that, because you'll be judged out of your own mouth. "Well, I can never make money with my money." Oh, wait. Whoa. Don't say that. Don't say that, because God judges us out of our own mouth. "Well, that'll never happen to me." Whoa. Are you with me? God, give me wisdom. Show me how that I can do this. Show me how I can make this happen. I'm going to do this. I am that man. I am that woman. I'm going to be a child of God that's going to prosper in every area of my life, not just spiritually, not just physically, not just maritally, but I'm going to prosper financially. And Father, give me wisdom. Show me how to make it happen. Hello. Not get crazy. Not go out there and do something crazy. Now, we're not talking about that. We're talking about systematically, slowly, begin to increase. Get your bills in shape. Get your budget in shape. Get your house in shape. Get your bills paid for. Get out of debt, or put some savings aside. Start taking care of some areas in your life and believe God to bless you to invest. You don't have to have $1 million to start out with. You don't even have to have thousands of dollars to start out with. You can start out very slow. But by all means, let's start, or we'll never get anything done. I think the hardest part is just starting anything, really. Just get started. Just get out there in it. What if I make some mistakes? Listen, I will guarantee you will make mistakes, okay? Amen. That's okay. You'll learn. That's how you learn. You hadn't lost your light bill because you're not giving away your light bill. You're not investing that. Y'all listening? But you'll learn and you'll grow, and God will bless it. He'll have something to put His hands on. That's what's so good about this. Okay, so this servant that did nothing got nothing. Not only did he get nothing, he lost what he had. That's what's so sad. It says, I feared you, and fear will always stop you from moving on in God, or fear will stop you from investing or starting a business or whatever the case may be. I feared you because you were an austere man, a severe, hard man. You collect what you did not deposit. You reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you. You wicked servant. He didn't really have a whole lot of nice things to say about him because he didn't do anything with what God gave him. Now, I'm not here with a stick hitting you on the head if you don't have any investments and you're not saving. I'm just saying, let's just repent and ask God to forgive us, and let's start believing God to save money. Let's start there. If you don't have savings, and start there, and then let's believe God to help us set aside money for different things and retirement and start investing. Don't say you can't do it. Don't buy that lie. Don't you buy that lie, because that's a lie. We're not talking about Bill Gates here. We're just talking about you and me starting where we are and ask God to help us. Give us wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. I want to be faithful with everything you've given me. Money's part of that. I want to be faithful with it. Now, you didn't get in debt overnight. You're not going to get out overnight. But you can start a plan, and you can head that way. You can ask God to give you wisdom and favor and bless you, and systematically you can start getting out of debt. Hallelujah. He says, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere, hard man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have at least collected it with interest? Whew. These are hard words, really, when you think about it. But he's trying to help us. Jesus is just trying to help us. How many of you would like to be financially free? Amen. How many of you have ever felt pressure because of finances? Oh, come on. Listen, we talk about it every day, and we clap when offering time comes, and every service we talk about being out of debt. I guess service go by, we don't say, thank God we're out of debt. We're out of debt. We're out of debt. We're out of debt. Because I remember when we weren't out of debt.
That's right.
My pastor, John Osteen, who's gone on to be with the Lord, used to always say, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. Hello. We're not having to use our faith on that, not having to get on our knees and pray and believe God day in, day out to get the bills paid. My goodness, we use our faith on something else now. God's blessed us, so we don't need a miracle in that area from week to week. And there was several years that from week to week and month to month, we were just living off miracles. We were needing a financial miracle from month to month. God doesn't want you to live that way. I mean, God will help you, no question. You keep crying out to Him if you have a need. He'll help you. But see, God wants you to get a grip on it where He doesn't have to jump in there and intervene every time a mess happens. You know, God will forgive you if you sin, but you know, He wants you to quit sinning. Hello? Now think about it. I'm not correlating the two and saying you're in sin. I'm just saying this, that I think we're just always looking for that fix, and we're never really looking to get the wisdom to get out of it so we don't continually repeat the thing. If you have an anger problem, repent. Ask God to help you and get rid of it. Don't quit. I know you keep asking to forgive you because you blow your top. But see, you need to quit blowing your top. Because living holy is a lot better than getting forgiveness. God is a forgiver, but I tell you, I'd a whole lot rather not need it than have to get it all the time. And I guarantee you, God would a whole lot rather you not have to get it all the time too. And you know, even health, you know, healing, thank God for healing. Wouldn't you just rather not be sick, though? And now, hey, if you're sick, get healing. But, you know, sometimes even there, and I'm not teaching on that, sometimes even there are a lot of things we're doing that's just making us sick. Hello? And so there's ways to even, you know, get around that and having to continually get healing. Thank God for healing. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for miracles, financially speaking. But, you know, there's something better than walking in prosperity. Walking in security, financially speaking, doing the things God says to do, building a financial base in our lives, in our church. It is much better now at International Outreach Church. We're not having to just continually pray and believe God to get bills paid. See, we got a machine rolling now. We're obeying God and His principles, and He's blessed us, and hallelujah, it's just so good. It's so wonderful. It is wonderful. Wonderful.
Amen.
Woo! Okay, so He says here, He said, why didn't you just put it in the bank? At least I could have got interest off. That was the very least. Savings is just the start. That's the least that we can do. Don't stop there. Don't say, well, hey, I finally arrived. I got money in the bank. Hey, that's a good thing. Thank God for that. That's something to rejoice about and throw a party and just drink water. And don't go buy a bunch of food or anything. you know, but maybe invite your friends over. Hey, I got some money in the bank. But you know what? That's just the start. That's the least. You're still at the least. Let's take that now and begin to go up a little higher. Woo. I mean, you ought to rejoice in all your achievements. I agree with that. But let's don't ever plateau out. Let's just add to it and add to it. So it says, why did you not put it in a bank? At least I could have collected the interest off of it. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. And they said, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you, everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. In other words, he lost what he had because he did nothing with it. And the guy that went and did something with it wind up getting what the guy had. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. There's that scripture right there, Proverbs 13:22. Because he was wicked with it, he lost it. And the guy that was serving God wound up getting it. I like to think of all the wicked people out there building all those buildings. One day we're going to get them all. Well, actually, in truth, we will get them all. Because the meek will inherit the earth. Ron Brown said something this morning. He came up to me. He said, you know, the Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. It didn't say he'd inherit the minerals. Well, if you know anything about mineral rights, most people don't sell mineral rights. You know, okay, you lost that altogether. No. Did you know we're all going to get all this stuff one day? One day we're all going to come back. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. You know who's going to be here? You and me. Amen. You and me. We're going to get it all one day. But God wants us to prosper too while we're here. Okay, turn to Matthew 25. This is the same account. And we'll wrap this up. This helping you? I just want to give you some ammunition when the devil comes and tells you can't make it and you can't, or that it's wrong to invest or whatever, when the Bible talks about it in great detail. This is the same account in Matthew's words. It's worded slightly different. But there's some more insight. You know, I love this when you have a parable that's repeated or a story that's repeated in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Many of the stories are repeated over and over. They're often called, referred to as the synoptic gospels. They're synonymous. They say a lot of the same things. They have a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same parables. John's unique. It just, all the stories in John are unique to John. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're a lot of the same stories. There are some unique stories, but a lot of them are the same. So they're called synoptic. Now, you might say, well, what's the point? Well, it's all God's Word. There's always just a little different slant or angle or perspective in Matthew or Mark or Luke. So you need to read all three accounts. And sometimes there's different, a little added information in one as opposed to the other. That's why I like to read them side by side, because you pick up a little more insight when you read them like that. So here's Matthew's account of this parable of the talents. There it was the minas, here it's the talents. This is the one mostly referred to as the parable of talents. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. That's what I think is neat here. And that's what I like. And that's what jumps out at me when I read this. That wherever you are, you say, well, I'm not a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett or a Merrill Lynch, or, you know, I'm not one of these guys, or Peter Lynch. I'm not one of these guys with all this money. No, but you know what? Whatever you have the ability to prosper with it. Because whatever you have, he's given all of us according to our own ability. Did you get that? Well, I'm not so-and-so, and if I had more money, I'd do this. No, wait a minute. No. You start where you are. You have the ability to prosper where you are. Wherever it is you have, you can make it grow. You can increase, you can multiply. You know, I think in Deuteronomy the 8th chapter, it talks about when they get into the land of Canaan, and he says, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. It says when you get into that land and you built goodly houses and you dwelled in them and your cattle has multiplied and your gold and your silver has multiplied, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in saying that the power of your hand, the might of your hand hath gotten you this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you. That's the 18th verse of that chapter, 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. But if you'll back up, I always like that. If you think about it, you know, we understand cattle and silver multiplying. But he also says your gold and silver will multiply. That kind of sounds like investment to me. I mean, I understand how cows multiply. Please, I don't have to explain that to you. Surely you understand that. We understand how cattle multiply, sheep multiply, but here he says that your gold and your silver multiply. Well, that had to be through investments and trading and so on and so forth. So even there you have a little bit of an idea or you get a glimpse or just a shade of investing is mentioned even there in one sense. And God wants to multiply what you have. He wants to increase what you have. He wants to increase you more and more. According to Psalms 115, it tells us in Psalms 115 that He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless all those that fear Him, both small and great. May the Lord increase you more and more. God does want to increase you. Amen. So He says here, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now see, you need to say that. You need to say that to yourself. You need to speak that over your finances. I have the ability to prosper with what I have. Don't whine and cry and moan and groan about what you don't have. Thank God for what you do have and ask God for wisdom to make it prosper because you have the ability to make it happen with what you have. Don't let fear get in. No, you let faith get in. Let faith, and you make confessions of faith over your finances. And that'd be a good one to quote right there and to stand on. That I have according to my ability. I have what I have according to my ability, and I can make it prosper in the name of Jesus. That's good scripture. That's better preaching. Y'all already amen it. 16th verse. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. Everybody say traded. Okay, well he traded, invested, bought and sold. And made another five talents. He doubled his money. Woohoo, that's a good one. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. He doubled his money too. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money or put it under the mattress, as we say. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Wanted to know how they had prospered or what they did with the money. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Have you remember that scripture? You ever heard that scripture? Well done. I just want to hear at the end of my days, when I stand before the Lord, the gate of heaven, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We often say that, and we connect that with going to heaven. Jesus was talking about a man that made money with his money. Did you read that? Isn't that what it says? Oh, I'm sure that applies to going to heaven. And I do want to hear that when I get up there. I do not believe, no matter how many jokes I've heard, I do not believe Peter is standing at that gate. Hello. I do believe that the Lord is going to usher me in and you in and all of us in. And He's going to say, well done. I believe that. But you know what we're missing? We're missing that well done here on this earth. We're missing that attaboy, pat on the back, here that we could be having and God wants to bless us. And if we'll use wisdom with our finances and even in investments, He will say, well done. Because the context of this is a man who invested money made money. Am I the only one excited here, besides Mo and Frank? Hallelujah. I just preach myself happy. Woo! Attaboy. All right, okay. So he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I tell you, if you want to enter joy in your life and get a grip on your finances, the joy of the Lord will come visit your house. There's no question. A lot of pain and grief will be there if you don't get a hold of this. And God is just trying to help you. He's just trying to bless you. Amen. And if you'll follow His principles, He'll make your life wonderful, peaceful, joyful. Hallelujah. So He goes on, and we're coming to a close. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained the 2 more talents beside them. Now notice this. 1 had 5 and gained 5. 1 had 2 and gained 2. 23rd verse. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. No difference with God. You prosper with what you had. Wouldn't matter if it was $1 million. Didn't matter if it was $10. You prosper with it and God's pleased with it. And God doesn't honor or exalt or give a bigger attaboy, you know, to the guy that made the big money as opposed to the guy that did something with what he had even though it was little. To God, it was both well done. And every little accomplishment in your life is a well done from God. It's a being faithful with what God's given you, and it's well done from God, and it'll bring joy in your life. Get your eyes off everybody else. You know, there's always somebody who's got more money. There's always somebody who has less money. You just do what you do with what you've got. Ask God to bless it and increase it. And every little accomplishment, I'm going to tell you something, God's pleased with it. He's very pleased with it. Every little baby step, you know, I get tickled. You don't have to step a whole lot, and all of a sudden, mama's got the baby book out, and the child is walking. And the child probably just had a nervous twitch and stepped a couple times, but that's okay. That was two steps. I saw it. We recorded it. We had Mikkel the other night. She walked four steps, then she walked seven steps. She's walking. Are you kidding? She's walking. Seven steps, she's walking. It doesn't matter if they're like this. Look like she's doing the splits, you know, and trying to get there, you know. And I mean, that's okay. She's walking. I'm pleased. Ryan and Manor, please. I mean, Manor got on the phone, called up Ryan's parents. Ryan already called them. Ryan was at work, and Manor called him. And I mean, they're excited, and they should be. Listen, God's excited with your baby steps. You say, well, man, I'm just trying to get a grip on a budget. Start there. God's pleased with that.
Right.
If you'll start where you are, God will help you. And then you'll start walking a little better, see? But if you don't start the baby steps, fear will keep you. And see, that's just like Mikkel. You know, she can stand up. She can stand anywhere in the middle of the floor and just stand there and clap, do all kinds of things. When it gets time to get somewhere, she hits her knees and starts crawling, you know? But she's starting to overcome that fear. If she can get her hand on a wall, she's a wall walker, you know? As long as she's got her hand on something, she's fine. Man, she can go. But see, that little fear will keep her from stepping out. And she has to overcome that. Every child has to do it. Finances sometimes the same way. That little fear keeps us from stepping out. We still want to hold on to something secure, and we don't want to step out. God wants to help us, and fear will stop us, see? That's what we're seeing here. That's what this man said, 25th verse, same thing. Over there in Luke, same thing. And I was afraid. Hello. Let's back up 24 first. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid. Fear. And went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Here's what you gave me. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received my own with interest. Same thing over there in Luke. That's the least we could do, is just put it in savings account, let it draw interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given. You get the thing rolling, see, you start obeying God, and God will start blessing you. It'll start increasing. You'll get momentum. Amen. Oh, this is wonderful. Everyone who has more will be given. He will have abundance from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. You got to get involved in the process. You got to pray over your finances. You got to look at them. You got to be aware of your financial state. You got to examine yourself whether you're being the faith or not concerning it. And look at the whole spectrum of what God says about biblical finance. There's a lot he has to say about it. And you know what? He just wants to bless you. He really does. And we sometimes are our own worst enemy. We're not really allowing God to do so because we're not obeying God in certain areas. So I just want to encourage you with that. And there's no condemnation. There's no stones to throw here. Just start where you are and ask God to give you wisdom. And see the day that you not only get your bills paid, that you not only get on top and have some money in savings, but to actually have money making money for you in investments. You can do it. And if you're already involved in the process, well, hey, just go in there with passion, go in there with fervor, ask God to continue to bless it. Hallelujah. And it's a Christian thing to do. Some people have the idea that if I'm believing God and trusting God for my finances, I don't save money because that would be against faith. No, that's in the Scripture. I believe God protects me. I believe the angel of the Lord camps around about me, but I still lock my doors at night. That's not a lack of faith. That's just wisdom. I believe God's just going to take care of me. I'm not going to take care of the funeral. Well, listen, you're going to die. It's going to happen. Believe God to bless you and give you a plan to take care of that. That's faith. Faith is obeying the Bible. That's what faith is. Amen. And God doesn't want you to go under. He wants you to go over.
Amen.
And He'll bless you and cause you to be able to do that.